Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey, if you are in this service, in just a few moments, few short moments, if you are like, you know what, I want to do it, I want to get baptized, we have a full clothes for you. So you can get changed and be fully clothed. Just want you to know that. And a towel for after the service. And it's really good because baptism, everybody, is not about bad people becoming good. It's about dead people becoming alive. And that's what we're celebrating. I want you to read Romans 6, 1 to 13 with me. Look at the screen. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Everyone say newness. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him with a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I want us to give it up for Gordo one more time. Go, Gordo. We love you, man. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And here's the interesting thing. I think the reality is church is full of great people, but it's not like church is just full of all these really good people. Church is actually full of people who are becoming fully alive to God. And we have received the life of Christ, but now I have to outwork the life of Christ into my everyday life. I've become alive, but now I'm becoming alive. God's transforming me, shaping me. So church is not just full of all these good people. It's actually full of people who are becoming alive to God. And the more you become alive to God, yes, the more good in nature you'll become because God is good. And you'll become more like him. But it's not this idea that churches are full of all these perfect, good, you know, little good Christian people. I saw this thing the other day about this guy who's talking about, you know, because sometimes people say, oh, well, church, you know, I like God, but I don't like church. Full of hypocrites. Guilty. You know, they full of all these people. They're meant to be good and have their life together, but they're not. And I just want to clarify something. Because if you went to the gym, you know the gym? You go to the gym. And if you go to the gym and you walk into the gym, which is a place of exercise where people are meant to be becoming fit, everyone's meant to be lifting weights and very strong. If you go to the gym and you walk in there and you see all these unfit people in the gym, all these people who can't even lift 5 kilos yet, can't really run much, not really super fit yet. If you went there and said, ah, I'm leaving this gym sucks, full of unfit people. It's full of all these people, they can't even run yet. What's wrong with this place? Hypocrites. Church is a place of transformation. Church is a place where I'm becoming what I have received and I'm in a process. So don't judge me in the middle of my process. You are in a process. We are in a process. And today we are celebrating people who are coming alive to God so that the life of God can now be outworked into their everyday life. This is what we're celebrating today. And the thing about baptism is that baptism is this Greek word, you've heard it before, baptizo, which means to be immersed. This is not a sprinkling session. This is about immersion, to be fully immersed in God. And in our heart, Jess and I, we want to be a church that is fully immersed in God. Not a Northern Beaches style church. God bless the Northern Beaches. But in the Northern Beaches, it's not cool to be too immersed. It's not cool to be too passionate. Unless it's about surfing. Other than that, just play it cool. You know, Northern Beaches, keep your options open. Don't fully commit. You know, you're hanging out on Saturday. Let me just see if I'm available. I'm not sure. We don't want to fully commit. But I want to encourage you. God is about immersion. God is calling His church for us to be fully immersed in Him. And that we would not try and make Him a Northern Beaches God. He's just God. He's just God. And we want His kingdom to come to earth. We're not trying to get earth into His kingdom. We're not trying to get a Northern Beaches way of doing things into His kingdom. We want to be a church that is fully immersed in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. I was talking with our leadership team the other day and we were kind of sharing about, how we work and strengths and weaknesses and how we process things. And I was sharing about how I really thrive if you just give me the main point. I thrive on dot points. I'm not great with heaps of detail. So I really thrive if you tell me up front what the main point is and then the detail later. Don't start with the detail, start with the main point. And then if we need the detail, we'll get there. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how I am. And so it's really good that I have detailed people around me because otherwise I'd just skip details. But I love a good summary. Don't you? Who likes a good summary? You like a summary where someone's telling you about their weekend? I love the summary version. And I just love a good summary. And think about a summary. I remember I had to read Jane Eyre in school. Anyone remember that book, Jane Eyre? Oh God, help us. And so much detail. There was 3 chapters about a kettle. And I used to find this book so hard. And so I got the monkey notes. Anyone heard of the monkey notes? Summary notes. And everybody, let's just go with the distraction. All the kids are here. Can we welcome all our kids here to cheer on their friends getting water baptized today. Woo! Where was I? Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre. And so I remember I just got the summary notes and that worked to a point. It worked at the front end but not the back end because when I was asked questions about this book, when I was asked questions, I could answer none of them. I knew nothing about Jane Eyre. I really didn't know enough. But there was a girl, she read the book. She loved it. She didn't get the summary notes. She read all the detail of all the books. She knew everything about that kettle. And so she knew all the detail. And so when she was asked questions, it just came up. She didn't have to go and read. She didn't have to go do notes. It just came up. How good are all these kids? They're just keeping coming. Where are they coming from, Andrew? I love it. There's kids everywhere. The other day, I kind of walked into a conversation with Christian Jones and John Bilton, and they were talking about Lord of the Rings, a great, great movie, great book. And they were kind of arguing about whether you should watch just the normal version, which is 3 hours, or the extended edition, which is 4 hours. And so obviously I have on the opinion, and Christian is as well, John's not, pray for him, but that we should watch the extended edition. In fact, Christian and I would be of the opinion that you should read the whole appendix of Lord of the Rings so that you can get fully immersed in what's happening in Lord of the Rings. Here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is partial engagement will never produce a full experience. And what God is doing in our lives is actually designed to bubble up. That it's actually designed to flow up out of our life. And when we immerse ourselves in God, when we're not just got a sprinkling of God, when we fully step in and allow our lives to be immersed in Jesus, this is when you really get to know who He is. This is when you let go, you really start to step in. Now, here's the thing. I would say in the days we're living in, there people have really healthy boundaries. And healthy boundaries is really good. I think we've grown, we've learned. We should, having a healthy family, really important. Healthy relationships, really important. Having a healthy rhythm. That's why we have a church rhythm. We have prayer week, connect week. We don't want everyone out 7 nights a week. We've got one thing during the week and then one thing on the weekend. Healthy boundaries is really good. But I never want that, the healthy boundaries to be a barrier for us to being fully immersed in God. Having healthy no is good, but never let's never let that be that we now have barriers for how much we allow God into our lives and how much we step into God in our everyday lives. Be healthy, but be immersed. Step right in. Don't hold back. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37. A Pharisee is a lawyer. He's trying to test Jesus. And he says in 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And Jesus didn't say, love the Lord your God with most of your heart. He said all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. God is not a partial kind of God. God is calling for all of us. And all of us doesn't mean that we don't then have a life. Look at the life of Jesus. He was fully immersed in God and he was laughing, eating, talking with people, healing the sick. He wasn't off in a corner trying to hide away from people, trying to escape society. Jesus was out in the middle of it. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors and he ate with Pharisees. He confronted them. He taught his disciples. Jesus was fully immersed in God and in real life. So being immersed in God does not mean getting away from real life. It actually means bringing God with us into the middle of real life. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And the more immersed in God you get, the more God gets in you. The more you know and the more God flows through our life. Partial engagement, church, will never produce a full experience of Him. It's like multitasking. You heard of multitasking? Look what Asana had to say. I read an article by Asana had to say on multitasking. It says, as nice as it would be to do two things at once, studies show the human brain simply isn't capable of paying full attention to more than one thing. When we think we're multitasking, we're actually switching between two tasks really quickly. Anytime you switch between two things, there is a switch cost. In addition to making more errors, individuals almost always take longer to complete two tasks simultaneously. Research done by David Meyer and Dr. Joshua Rubenstein showed that even these brief mental blocks that happen as a result of context switching cost as much as 40% of someone's productive time. Because it takes mental effort to switch between cognitive tasks, multitasking affects your ability to get work done effectively and efficiently. The other day, I love watching sport. Anyone like sport? Well, the other day I was watching sport and on the TV, I had the NRL. And on my iPad, I had the rugby union. And on my phone, I had the English Premier League. And I was living the dream. Living the Saturday dream. But I could not tell you one detail about any one of those games. I was there, but I wasn't there. Sometimes I wonder if we're looking for the presence of God, but actually the presence of God is there. It's just, are we? Sometimes we question God's presence, but maybe the question is, are you present? Are you in a place where you are multitasking your relationship with God? And if you are, there is a switch cost. You can never fully immerse yourself in God. And if you never fully immerse yourself, even for 5 minutes, if you never fully go deep into God, you will never fully know Him. But what would happen if there was a church in Sydney on the northern beaches that knew how to be fully immersed in God? What would happen if there was a church right across Sydney that knew how to be fully immersed in God? Not multitasking, not skimming God, not in a short supply, but fully focused on God and fully filled with the Spirit and the power of His kingdom on the inside of them. What would happen? I tell you what would happen. This city would see that God is real. This city would see that God is alive. Your family would see that you are full and immersed in the Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ. One of the things I love doing, I love playing with my son, Oakland. He's nearly 2 years old and he is so cute. He's the best. I have so much fun. And so he'll be playing on the floor and he has this new John Deere truck, which comes with like a screwdriver and you can actually pull it apart. It's really cool. And so he has it and he'll sit down on the floor and he'll call me over, "Daddy, Daddy, come play." And I'll sit down on the ground. And there's this amazing thing where my son, Oakland, he can tell if I'm not fully present. It's unbelievable. The guy's, you know, he's magic. I don't know what's going on. He's got discernment. I'll be sitting there and he'll do this. When I'm thinking about, because you know, after a big day, you had a big day. You had a big day. And so you're there, but you're not there because you're still processing things from the day. And so in that moment, he does this. He goes, "Daddy." It's incredible. It is so cute. He goes, "Daddy." And he points. He says, "Daddy." And then I switch. Here's what I learned. The key to really being present and immersed in that moment is actually surrender. I've actually got to surrender to the moment. And my need to control all the things that I'm trying to solve in my brain that happened in the day will prevent me from being present in the moment. And our need for control with God will often prevent us from being fully immersed with God in the moment. But you will never fully experience God unless you can surrender and let go. The key to immersion in God is surrender. And that's what's going to happen as people are baptized today. They're going to surrender. They're going to go down into the water. And as they let go of their old life, they're going to discover new life in Jesus Christ. Look what Matthew 10:39 says. It says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Look at the NLT. It says, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, for God, you will find it." The irony of surrendering and being fully present, that's where you discover life. That's where you become fully alive to God. To let go, to relinquish control. And release. Reminds me of the story of Martha and Mary. You know that story? And Martha was busy, doing things for God, but not present with Him. And she got angry at Mary, who was seated at the feet of Jesus, waiting, listening, immersed in God. And Jesus said this, He said, "Martha, you're worried about many things, but few things actually matter. This thing is what matters most. And Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." I would encourage us, church, let's be an immersed people. In Jesus' name. Why don't you close your eyes? two things we're going to do right now. Number one, if you want to receive Christ Jesus into your heart, we want to pray for you. So if that's you, all I want you to do is raise your hand and we're going to lead you in this prayer. If you need to take that step of saying yes to Jesus, maybe you're online, maybe you're in the room. If you're here today, count of three, I want you to raise your hand. We're not going to take you anywhere. We're going to lead you in a prayer to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If that is you, raise your hand. Second thing we're going to do after that is there might be some people in the room who want to raise their hand to get baptized today. And we're going to do those two moments right now. So number one, if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, here is your moment. Count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Who is there today saying, I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive Jesus. It's time to receive Christ. Who is there today? You know that's you. You want to step in to salvation and receive Christ. Couple of seconds. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you feel the knock of God on your heart to get baptized. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand today. We're gonna look after you and help you get baptized. If that's you, you want to get water baptized today, you weren't planning on it, but you can sense that God is saying, hey, now's the time to be immersed. You've been around the edges, but it's time to dive into God. Come and dive into all that He is. Come and immerse your heart and your soul into Jesus Christ Himself. Come and be fully alive to God. Cross this line today. If that's you and you want to get water baptized right now, I want you to raise your hand if that is you. Count of three. One, two, three. Who's there today? Saying, that's me. I want to get water baptized. I want to get water baptized. I want to get water baptized today. So good. A couple of seconds. Awesome, man. Beautiful. Friend of ours saying, yeah, I'm going to do that right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? A couple of seconds. Just go for it. Don't worry. We got you. Five. Thanks, man. Well done. Anybody else? It's two people. It's really exciting. Anybody else? You're like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. Throw caution to the wind. Anybody else saying, that's me? Five, four, three, two, one. Amazing. Church, I'd love you to stand up. We're going to get baptizing. And this is a family affair, okay? When people get baptized, we're celebrating it together. They're baptized into God, but they're also baptized into the church. So what I want us to do is if you're getting baptized, I want you to come now. Where's our person? Nicolette, come forward. Be bold. Give it up for Nicolette. We love you, Nico. And if you're getting baptized, come now, follow Nicolette. Come now, come now, come now. Church, what's going to happen? Team are going to lead us in worship. We're going to sing songs of worship. We're going to let our hearts and souls be immersed. And what you'll see down here is the kids have written posters to cheer on their friends who are getting water baptized today. Woo! One says, yay for Jesus. I love it. One says, you did it. Says alive in Jesus, live, laugh, love Jesus. Oh, so good. Who's the genius that wrote that one? Wow. We got everybody? Our friends that raise their hand, come now, and we're going to get gear for you. Look after you if you're getting baptized today. Come to the team. Come down here right now. Band, let's sing a song. Take it away.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.